Covering Michigan from Houghton Hancock to Ludington to Ann Arbor, this is the Michigan Talk Network, the fearless pursuit of the truth.
Following up now on the conversation about Sri Lanka, the latest coming in indicates the attacks in Sri Lanka on Easter Sunday on Christians was motivated as a retaliatory strike for the mosque attacks in Christchurch, New Zealand last month. Join me now, Grant Haber, one of America's most foremost experts on homemade explosive devices and the resulting IED crisis. The IED is, of course, that happened in Sri Lanka. Grant, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on the air today.
Good to have you here. All right, so let's talk about sophistication or lack thereof. I don't know, so you're going to have to illuminate me and the listeners at the same time. These devices used in Sri Lanka, what can you tell us about them? Difficult to make, not difficult, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being very hard and 1 being very easy, where would you put these devices?
Well, there's a lot of ways of looking at this, and with an ongoing investigation, there's certain details that are not going to surface for some time. But what's important to understand is the simplicity of attacking via suicide bombers. Most people don't understand that once a IED is strapped to someone or a vehicle is loaded with explosives and there's a suicide bomber attached to it, it's already too late. For the most part, people are going to die.
Can't turn back. You can't unring the bell. That I understand. So let me ask you this, because I guess when 9/11 happened, many of us, millions of us, believed that we would start to see this sort of attack, the sort of thing that we see in Israel or Sri Lanka or the Middle East on a much more regular basis, where bombs would go off in cafes and coffee shops. Now, we haven't seen that thus far, but we're being told we should expect it. Do you agree with that?
It's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of when. And the wars in countries like Iraq and Afghanistan are creating lessons learned for extremists to follow suit in other countries throughout the world.
So how difficult is, I mean, the materials needed to create an IED, strong enough to create a car bomb or a suicide bomber's vest, are those materials readily available here in the United States?
They are. Yes, they are.
And so why do you think, Grant, that we haven't seen those kinds of materials in America that we've seen elsewhere? Are they waiting for something? I wouldn't be surprised if I heard about it today or tomorrow. I guess I'm more surprised that we haven't heard about it yet.
Well, we actually have heard about it, and we're not immune to it. The 1970 Madison, Wisconsin University bombing used ammonium nitrate. The 1993 World Trade Center bombing used urea nitrate. The 95 Oklahoma City bombing used ammonium nitrate. If we look at what's going on in Afghanistan, ammonium nitrate is used in about 30% of the IEDs, followed behind potassium chlorate, which is used in over 60% of the IEDs today in Afghanistan.
So, all right, so what do we do to protect ourselves? Obviously, you can't outlaw all the materials here. What do we do?
Well, there's actually, for example, ammonium nitrate, which we know is used to make IEDs. In Afghanistan, for example, it's banned and illegal. There is, however, a legal fertilizer known as diammonium phosphate that can be used for agricultural purposes, but it can never be used to make IED. So what we need to do is we need to ban and have better control on the materials that we know are being used to harm people, and we need to ramp up the distribution of the fertilizers that are intended to grow food and can't be used to grow bombs.
Can't be converted.
Can't be converted. That's correct.
All right. So you would think that after what happened in 1995, that would have happened after Timothy McVeigh's attack in Oklahoma City. But It didn't change. And I guess my surprise still is that we haven't seen more of these sorts of attacks, but I guess you expect them.
Yes, I do.
And again, the only path you say forward is to ban these substances. Is there anything else we can do? Because obviously, potassium chloride, could you take that off the market as well? Or could somebody in a chemistry lab make these things fairly quickly and easily?
Well, there's a wide variety of ways to make explosives. And yes, there are people in labs that could make them and employ them. And banning anything is not the solution to eradicating terrorism. There's no 100% solution. There never will be. It needs to be a combination of banning certain materials, good intelligence gathering, having people within certain societies. I guess the bottom line, Steve, is that our greatest asset in the war on terrorism is people. And we need programs that are whole of government, that engages the civilian populace on a daily basis in ways that don't violate trust. With trust comes enhanced support and actionable intelligence that can help thwart future attacks.
Grant, greatly appreciate that and that input. Grant Haber, joining us, an expert on homemade explosives, the resulting IED crisis, causing so many casualties and death and carnage around the world. Grant, greatly appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me on your show. You have any other questions with regard to this matter, Steve?
No, we're up against the break. Got to run, my friend.
Thank you for your time. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Grant Haber, everybody, here on the program. Quick break now. Still coming up today, Alyssa Algren will be here, a writer at Alpha News, a millennial who sees the world quite a bit differently than a lot of the millennials we deal with. This part of the program brought to you by DTE Energy, providing safe, reliable natural gas to customers all across Michigan. DTE Energy. Know your own power.